Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
On tonight's episode of the SC Report for Round 14, we go around the ground for some Teamless Tuesday analysis with the ever-reliable Daniel Lake. We also go around the grounds for the SC Talk website, some of the really movers and shakers in our rankings here. Round 17 plays, big one around the corner by week final of this season. Good moving around, captains and vices. Some good teams are separating themselves from the worst. And of course, JT's Joke Corner wouldn't be without it, but this week we're going to open it up to my co-host who's been busily writing away. All that and more on this week. Let's get into it. Lakey, I got NRL 360 fever. You know that intro that they do, the crap on about what they're going to talk about, all the gossip and to's and fro-ing. How was that?
Yeah, your improv classes are really coming along, mate. You're doing well.
Mate, absolute comedian. Never said I wasn't. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing well. I'm flying high. Football's been really good lately, so I'm enjoying watching those games. But life's good. How about yourself?
What football are you watching?
Not the Knights. No. I was out Sunday, so everything else was great.
Not personally going too bad. I'm a little more, less sleep deprived than I was last week when I was speaking to you. The dog is now 9 weeks old. Better half has been cleaning up pretty vigorously out there, though, today. So I'm glad I'm in here talking to you and well away from that. But hopefully the little thing keeps quiet. Do you know the embarrassing thing is, though, Matt? I'm a 29-year-old man, soon to be 30, right out. And my dog has an Instagram page.
Yeah.
People need to realize I had no bearing on that.
Yeah. What the more embarrassing thing is, my wife follows it, and I sent you a picture last week. Yeah, I'm watching the Origin, and I'm on edge of my seat, and I'm yelling and screaming, and I look over, and she's looking at your dog on Instagram, and I was like, Jesus Christ.
It's such cringeworthy content too, because Marina, my partner, talks as if the dog is it's cringy, mate, honestly. Just, we got it home, right, and I said, the first thing she says to me, what's its middle name? I'm like, I don't know, it doesn't have one. She goes, well, I need one for the Instagram page. I'm like, oh, what? Please cease and desist. Anyway, Millie B. Tate, there you go. Anyone that wants to follow, I'm sure Marina would absolutely love the following. Anyway, that's my life. Cowboys are going great, though. Need to talk a bit more about them. We'll get into those guys with the round 14 news. A bit of cavalry arriving, actually. I'm not sure how I feel about it, but we'll chat about him, I'm sure. The big Luciano Leilua. But before we get into it, mate, it would be remiss of us not to shout out some of our fellow SC Talk contributors. None more so than, I guess, site founder When in Rome, who's getting a little bit chatty.
He is.
My liking. 784th.
He takes a year off, pulls the old Kirk up routine, doesn't watch football and shoots up the rankings, and then gets a little bit lippy in the group chats.
Definitely. As soon as he starts to overthink it. But I had a beer with him this afternoon, and he said, my strategy, because I said to him, like, is it the new dad thing or something like that? You know, you're sleep deprived, you're just not caring. And he goes, I just make my trades now on Tuesday as soon as team lists drop, and I don't change it until the week starting, unless, you know, an emergency or something like that. Yep. So a quick shout out to Wen. Well done, buddy. You're in the top 1K, first time ever, I think, in your 78 years of playing. So there you go. Round of absolute applause for you. Quick one from him. He's gone Brian To'o this week. I thought that was a bit left field because he reckons he's set for round 17. So I don't know whether he just took a bath during 13, but...
No, he had something like 15 players from round 13, if I remember correctly. So I don't know how he's turned it around so quickly, but, I mean, he's well ahead of me on the rankings. I'm not going to criticise. Brian Toto's a good pickup. He's dropped a hell of a lot of cash since the start of the year, and, you know, the Knights have played him back into form, unfortunately. He's got a low break even. We know what he's capable of. This could be the time to get on him before he absolutely skyrockets.
Certainly could. And another shout out, Benny G, favorite of the podcast from a couple years back. He's been out in the wilderness for a little while, but he's 159th flying. And you know what else? New dad. So he's had a kid of his own 4 or 5 months ago. So yeah, I don't know, something in the air. Maybe it's just that new dad flavor to it. But any other new dads out there, shout out to you. Hopefully you're doing as well as those two guys. And Wilfred, geez, there he is. He's not quite top 1K yet, but geez, he's close. And normally this time of year, he's, you know, dwindling where you and I are. So good to see the old catfish absolutely firing up. I'm just having a quick look. So I'm currently 14,000th and climbing. Don't you worry about that. Mm-hmm. You are just outside the 10K. So, I mean, you know, we've got some stuff to play for, but I think we're not going to win. You know, spoiler alert, Lakey, we're not going to win 50K.
You've ruined it for me.
There you go. So maybe we just create our Missos team for round 17. But nonetheless, now I'm just looking up the ladder. I've got Joe, the big surge buster. He's about 20 points ahead. I've got my eye on him, and then above him it's you, and then VK, Banyo. I'm just going to start taking these guys down one by one. That's my goal for the rest of the year. It's going to be a good run.
That's it. We'll start sniping them off one by one, climbing the ranks and get some respectability back onto the pod.
Speaking about respectability.
Yeah, let's say, what guests can we bring on?
Anyone, mate, anyone. But shout out to, we had a very nice review left for us on our iTunes podcast this week. Nathan Holmes, 89. Love your work, gentlemen. Love these guys. Great listen, but also a lot of laughs. And you know what? You're welcome, Nathan. I'm sure that's in reference to my joke corner. It's, a big fan favorite. My sample size of one here. 100% approval rate.
You and Baz, mate, there's two. You and Barry. Get involved. So 2 out of 3 is not bad.
I'm changing Baz's name, mate. He's now Nath. Big Nath. Okay. Thank you very much, buddy. You're welcome. But I did say in the intro, I'll throw to you for JT's joke on it. It's Lakey's joke on it because you're an actual dad. So there you go.
I am a dad.
Anyway, that is enough fluff for this week, mate. We have a lot to get through for round 15. Quick one on 14, actually. I thought, it came through relatively unscathed. It was a big scoring week. I was a little surprised. Were you?
Mm. Yeah, no. So the guys that sort of failed in Origin, that, you know, looking at Clearys and those sorts of types, they wanted to make amends, and they certainly did. There was a couple of big games. I was looking at an absolute terrible score after Saturday night, but, you know, I had a ton from Cleary, a ton from Mulitalo, someone else tunned
Gareth
up
for me.
Yeah, Garrick and Olakuatu. So I had a couple of big scorers to really pump my score up a little bit. I didn't, you know, break any records or anything, but didn't drop any ranks either. So it was a good round. It was just some big scores from the popular players and, a lot of movers.
Yeah, I think I had about a 1250. I only went up 400 spots or something like that. So I think across the board. But you know what? I was sitting there on Sunday pretty chirpy about how good I was going, and then I didn't own Garrick or Cleary. So Sunday afternoon was a bit tough. And then I owned Captain Nico Hines. So, kicking boot was not on. But all those Sharks outside backs, I mean, that's a killer. The scoring out wide, miraculous tries, and he just can't convert. So, yeah, I blame Redcliffe for that one. But anyhow, good to hear that you and I both got through unscathed from 14. I think it was a pretty good week of footy. Good weather too, so hopefully that holds up. Round 15, how about we get straight into it? You're fresh, hot off the press with your team's analysis. I might throw to you, Daniel Lake, big movers and shakers for round 15.
Yeah, the big ones coming in are a couple of the guys who were rested after the Origin game last week. So you got DCE, Cotter, Nanai, they're all coming back. Nanai surprised me. I wanted to ask you about him. He looked, you know, gone for all money on last Wednesday. Yeah, so he returned after about 20 minutes and now he's playing this week. It's just superhuman effort by him. The other big in is Adam Dewey for the Tigers. He's back on the bench, but he is back on Sunday afternoon, I believe it is, playing against the Dogs. So it'll be very interesting to see how he is. And not quite back yet, but Ryan Pappenhausen's been named in the extended bench. So that one is a very close watch heading on to. I think he'll come in, which means one of Iremia or Grant Anderson will be dropped out while Nick Meaney goes back to the wing. So Meany usually plays on the left, so, you know, fingers crossed it's Iremia that drops out and we get a bit of a cheapy bonus in Grant for round 17, but, you know, I'd be holding off on any Grant trades for now until we see what happens with those. As far as the outs go, Reno's out for the Bronx. You got Burbo. He drops out, so that's an AE issue avoided. Aitken is out, so it might be time to sell him. And I know this was going to devastate me and all other Knights fans, but Lockie Fitzgibbon has been cut.
No.
It's, you know, it's crushing, soul-crushing. But
is your funding cut also from NIB?
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe they just secured the bag, got the big extension on the on the sponsorship and went, all right, see ya. But no.
Just when he was about to turn the corner.
Exactly right. There's a couple of guys to watch too. So some guys who have been named, Payne Haas has been named, but they're going to make a final call on him after captain's run on Friday with his double shoulder injuries. CC for Talakai has been named. There's not been too much said about his missed court date, except some rumours floating around of a 2-game suspension. So keep an eye on that heading towards the weekend, and not so much for Luke Keary, I should say. He suffered the big concussion last week, and he's in the protocols and whatnot. I'd actually be surprised if he plays this week. If he doesn't, there'll be a shuffle with the Roosters. Walker to halfback, Manu will come into 5-8, I would assume, and then someone come in on the centres. Maybe Momorowski gets a call up again to fill in for Manu. But that'll be, affect all you Joey Manu.
Yeah, looking at Manu as an owner last week, I thought when he shifted to that 5-8 spot, it just, again, gets his hands on the ball. So, you know, the more he's in the middle, he's just a bit of a hog, I think we've all come to know and love about him for Supercoach anyhow. But, yeah, a couple of deft kicks through for, I think he set one try up. So, I don't know, it was good to see. The more he gets his hands on the ball, the better for us. So, looking forward to him as a season-long keeper. Rubbish news, well, potentially about Talakai, because the 2-week suspension would have seen him fine for round 17. So if it's any later, that's just a killer.
No, absolutely. But it's a bit of a weird one, because you kind of don't want it to happen now. If it's going to get a 2-game suspension, you don't want it to happen now because he plays the Titans and then the Dogs. Not to say the Dogs are any easy beats. They, you know, definitely proved they're not
lying
yesterday, but it's a good couple of games stretch, so you want him there, but then you don't want him suspended for round 17. It's, you know, let's just not suspend him at all. Let's just wait till the court date in late August or whatever it is and then make a call after that.
You know what I found in my years of following Adam Stiles on Twitter is that the captain's run is this big thing. Do you know what it actually is? Is it literally, you know, Chad Townsend out in front, fellas, we're running up this hill here. What is a captain's run?
I think it's their last training before game day. They just have a bit of a run through, nothing too strenuous, a bit of, you know, light drills here and there and making sure everyone's healthy and good to go. They don't want to hurt anybody before game day. So that's what I take of it. I've never been in the NRL personally, so I don't know exactly, but that's my take on it.
Tell you what, Wilfred and Wenner are around Broncos training enough that they should know 100% what a captain's run is. So we'll be asking the Mr. Top 1K himself what exactly a captain's run is. So, yeah, we'll give that to you next week. All right, so a fair bit happening, I guess, in the teamless space, and probably more, I don't know, so those Dewey and Pappenhausen ins are the big ones for me. They are so highly priced, though, more so Pappenhausen. At least with Dewey, we get a couple of weeks
couple
to see
weeks,
just
yeah.
how he's going to settle in. But Pappy, that's the big call. A lot of cash to spend. He's by far, I think, now the highest priced player in Supercoach that's at least still playing from memory. So, I mean, you've got to, you know, shell a lot of funds out for him.
Oh, come on, he's only 930K.
Oh, that's chump change.
Everyone should have that in bank, surely. Mm. But no, you're right. He's ridiculously priced. He's got 140-odd break even. So you could wait and see how he goes this week against the Broncos. They've been playing pretty well. Maybe they keep him quiet. Maybe he comes off the bench. Just, yeah, it's tough because he's already beaten that break even twice this year with a 193 and a 155. So if he does get on a roll, then he, you know, maybe he goes up in price even. It's just, you don't know with Pappy.
Yep. 100%. But I mean, he's a guy, do you see running into round 25 with him? I mean, there's a lot of options. You got Tedesco, you got Hines, obviously Turbo's out, which is unfortunate, but maybe just on Nico. So halfback or fullback. So you've got Cleary at half and then these guns around him at fullback. What's going on with him? Obviously, he's a hole until 17 because, you know, doubtful he gets into that Origin side, although you never know, but worst case scenario. But I don't know. I think ever since I've bought him, I've kind of ruined him. It was that Warriors game.
You have a history of doing that.
I do. And I've a quick shout out of about to ruin Nathan Cleary because I've finally bit the bullet and brought him in. So there you go. JT's don't trade this guy corner this week. But anyway, Cleary, welcome to the team. But yeah, Nico Hines, ever since that Warriors game where I watched it in disbelief because this guy could not be tackled. And I just thought this is the most painful game. He just is busting tackles. He's forcing dropouts. He's scoring tries. He's setting them up. I brought him in. And then ever since that game, he's missing goals. He's not running it anymore. Matt Moylan is outscoring him. Like, it's a strange old time. Season-long hold, or are you having second thoughts?
I'm not having second thoughts because he can become a backup halfback. I don't think there's too many other better options out there. DCE might be one that you could make the argument for. But Jerome Hughes too, but I think Hughes sort of takes a back seat to Harry Grant and Cam Munster at time, whereas Nico Hines is the man running that show. So when they do go well, he should, by rights, be scoring well. He scored a 61 this week and missed six goals. So, you know, if he pots a couple more of those, he's looking at 70 and we're probably not having this conversation. But that's just, you know, I think I'll take a 60 from a guy having a bad game. He's got a good run coming up. His toughest matchups over the next few weeks are in 17, 18, 19. 17 against the Storm, they're going to be depleted with Origin guys. 18 against the Cowboys, they got backing up, so who knows how many of them actually play. 19 against Penrith, and then it's a pretty cruisy run home. So I think it's not worth trading him out. You can have him, if you're not happy with him, put him as your backup halfback and just ride it out from there. Grab Teddy and Pappenhausen or something as your fullbacks to run home. And you don't have to play him, maybe play him matchup dependent as a reserve.
And I guess, you know, it sounds crazy for a guy 700K that you're, you know, calling him a matchup play, but I was just looking at my side today, and I'm sure you're the same, but there's a lot of choices now to be made about who you sit and who you start. And we'll get into that at the back end of the pod, but there's now a lot of cash that might be sitting on your NPRs. So with trades dwindling, it's going to be a few big decisions to make. And actually last week we were talking off air, a lot of whinges in the Supercoach world about all their NPRs scoring big. Like champions, I think everyone had the same issue. Who was playing a dog last week?
Yeah, that's right. We said it here and, you know, I did it. And I said to you off air, I had Karaz and Maxi King sitting there for any late outs across the weekend, any origin rest that I wasn't expecting, someone, you know, pull a hammy in warm-ups or something like that. So I had those guys sitting there as an emergency if I needed them. They outscored the majority of the guys on my field, but you know, I was not playing unless I had to. It's just, we were all in the same boat. You know, we all had the Tolitau Coolers and Ezra Mams. We brought him in. You weren't playing him against the Raiders who were up and about. It was just one of those weeks.
Certainly was. I'm just glad I have my boy Petr Hiku, that he ready to right the ship first game of the round. All right, we are talking matchups. So maybe before we get into the round 17 plays, and there's a lot of them, including some trade ins and outs for this week, but maybe we get into the captains and vice captains. So I think there's a lot of good matchups this week. So you look firstly the Storm and Broncos. Broncos heavily depleted and always find it tough down in Melbourne against the Storm. I don't think they've beaten them for, God, I think since 2016 or 17 or something like that. Yeah, so the Storm always turn up. And then Panthers, Warriors. I mean, take your pick in players in those games. Are you leaning towards anyone in particular?
I do like Cleary, except you've absolutely put the mock
on
sorry,
him. Yeah, sorry, VC only.
Yes, that's right. I think I'll probably be VCing Garrick, maybe against your boys. Hopefully it can be a 40-36 type scoreline, little defense played, but Garrick gets a few pot shots on goal and bumps his score up while you guys still win. Will you take that?
Look, I'm so proud of our defense this year. You know what? This time last year, went away to the coast with the better half, and it was the exact same game. 6 o'clock Friday night, Four Pines Park, and Manly put 50 on us.
Oh, there you go.
I'd like to think we have turned it around since then, but it could all be the unraveling here.
You're going a little bit better than that at the moment. Hey, listen, I like the Sharks guys against the Titans too. If you want to wait until 3 p.m. game on Saturday to throw a VC on, you can chuck it on Mulatalo or Kotoa or something out wide and hope they jag a few more tries like they did last week. But, yeah, you're right. There's a couple of really good matchups for those sorts of plays. Cleary against the Warriors is probably the pick of them as a captain's choice.
$11 the Warriors are paying against Penrith. That could be an absolute bloodbath. And you know what? He didn't get rested last week, but the fact I've brought in Cleary this week means he's getting taken off at the 50th minute.
Yeah.
And, scoring 80 or something like that. Yeah. But you know what? I'll take it, given my captain.
You know what I'll do is I'll put $10 on the Panthers to win, just on the nose, and that'll make it a close affair, if not the Warriors will win, the way my betting's going at the moment.
$10 to win a mighty 40 cents. You big spender, you.
But if it keeps Cleary on the field for, 80 minutes and scoring well, then it's the best $10 I'll ever spend.
What do you reckon about Cam Munster? I don't own him, but hot and cold. He's had a couple of down weeks, at least in the NRL. But this week against the Broncos, surely one of the weeks he turns up.
He loves playing the Broncos, and he loves playing big games too. And this is a top four clash. You say he's had a couple of down weeks. He just dropped 112 on Manly before Origin and then completely towered up New South Wales on the big stage. So this is the sort of game, Friday night, primetime game against a top four opponent. This is a game I think he could go big.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, sometimes they just share the love around. Like you got Grant out there, as you said, Hughes, the return, hopefully, of Ryan Pappenhausen. So I don't know. Too many chefs sometimes in that Storm kitchen, but, rocks or diamonds, I wouldn't say rocks because Munster's floor is 40, but you really want to get, you've got to back him this week if you've owned him. This long. So I think a big score around the corner for him. Yeah, I don't think you need to play cute this week. I think there's so many matchup plays that there's no real, I don't see any bounce back from Parramatta, for example. Dogs and Tigers, that could be anything. So maybe that's a play for one of your dogs. But no, outside of that, I think play it safe with a guy like Cleary, as I'm doing. VC, I'm limited in options, but Cody Walker, why not? Throw it on him. Just never
why
know.
Not? Go the VC. There's no harm, no foul in the VC. So if he comes out with a classic Cody game, then you're laughing and you're a step ahead of everybody else. I don't think anyone else has got the balls to do that.
Certainly. All right, let's take a quick break, Lakey, and then get back into the buys and sells of this week and then the sit and plays. I've got a few questions I want to run by you. As I said, fairly stacked side at the moment, so just who do I park on my NPRs? We've got a lot of questions. And then Lakey's joke cornered around us out. All that and more.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Alrighty, so let's get back into it, Lakey. Round 15, ins and outs. We've gone through those. It's now, we've got, I think by my count, at least 7 trades possible to make between now and round 17. Hopefully, or if you do have a few boosts up your sleeve, that will increase that number. But now's the time to make a charge if you're looking to climb up the ladder. So it's a big couple of trading weeks. Starts this round. A couple of guys I've got high on my list. So there's so many center wings at the moment in Supercoach that are going to play round 17 that are in good size and are in great form They are worth a stack of cash. That's the problem. And I've tasked you with looking at some forwards, forward options for round 17. So maybe I'll throw to you first, because I think the forwards are maybe a little tougher to land on. But forwards that you're keeping an eye on either this week or over the coming weeks in terms of getting them in for round 17 and perhaps beyond, anyone that you've got your eye on?
Listen, the first guy is a must. It's Isaiah Papali'i. He's not going to be playing Origin. He's averaging 80. Just if you don't have him, you've got to get him. But, you know, 52% of the comp have him already. So it's a bit of an obvious pick, that one. A couple of the left field guys I'm looking at, I've basically looking in second row only for my side. If you're looking for a front rower, I don't think you can go past David Clemmer at the moment. He is killing it. A lowest score of 65, I think, which was last week, in an absolute toweling to the Panthers, and he still put up 65 points. So he's just getting it done week in, week out. Big shout. I said in my article this afternoon, the only two knights I'd seriously consider are Clemmer and Tyson Frizzell. So there's another one I'll touch on in the second row. Frizzell, you know, puts his heart into every game he plays. And, he's sort of a floor of 50 as well and has some attacking upside on the right edge there for the Knights. But, it's a tough one. As you said, there's not a lot of genuine options in the second row playing round 17. You've got, you know, Cam Murray's and Ryan Madison's who are going to be off on origin duties. Pat Carrigan's in that boat as well. CSC for Talakai is a good option, but, you know, realistically you've got him down the center wing, so you can fit a few other guys in. But there are a couple that sort of pique the interest a little bit. Cam McInnes, he was a popular buy last week and he did well with a 63. I really like the look of Joe Ofengawa. He's been playing superb football lately. You summed it up pretty well earlier to me off air, I think it was, where you said he's doing a lot of those Paul Gallen sort of crab runs. He's doing...
Oh, they're rubbish.
Hit up and, you know, a bit of a fist into a guy's chest to get a tackle break and a dirty offload that goes to no one, but he's just racking up points. He had another 83 on the weekend just gone, and they got towed up as well, so he's doing work. And now with Lucy gone, I don't think there's too many guys that are going to be stealing work off him. If anything, they're going to probably play him bigger minutes because they need him out there. They basically need someone on the field, but
Look at their props, mate. Like James Tarmo, absolute pillow. Love your work, buddy. You won us. We scored a try in the grand final, so I'll always have that set aside for you. But the Tigers forwards, they're either, you know, low minute players or just low output. In some cases, both. And there's just so much work for a guy like Ofengawa to do, and you can see that every week.
Yeah, that's it. He's not playing 80. The last three games he's played is 65, 68, and 63 minutes, but he's still pumping out 80 scores and 50s. So that's sort of a low end for him. He's had a really good year. It's gone gone under the radar a bit, but he's put together a very solid year, and I think probably his best of his career. Nobody's really talking about him. He's 4.5% owned at the moment. So that's one to jump on if you want a little bit of a pod play, and hopefully he can keep those stink offloads going against the Dogs and Warriors and Eels over the next 3 weeks. It's a bit of a decent run for him. They have some, you know, tough games after that, but he just gets through the work. I don't think the tougher games will affect him too much.
You know what I love about Supercoach? A player can literally just peg the ball into the ground at their, you know, player's feet, and they'll drop it, and they'll get 2 points for it.
Correct.
The other player gets the error even as shit as the offload was.
Correct, yeah.
And that's what's happened with Joe. You know, actually, shout out to me. I did call him out maybe 3 weeks ago as being, he was in the top five averaging second rowers or front rowers. And I even said to, I think, Wennon when he was on the pod, I was like, have a think about him. And he laughed in my face. So there you go. Laugh all the way to the top 1K.
That's it. It's been mentioned on here a couple of times to toot our own horn. And I said in my article a week or so ago that him and Stefano were two guys, the only two guys from the Tigers I was looking at. And I didn't pull the trigger, but I'm wishing I had. He's been going gangbusters.
But he is, as you pointed out to me, he's 590K.
590, yeah.
We've got,
he's on the expensive end.
We need to find some money here, and I don't know whether you want to spend it up in your front row or second row for that matter.
Here's the conundrum for me, and I'm looking for a second rower this week. I'm looking at these sorts of guys, the Joe Hofengauers, Cam McInnes, Tyson Frizzell, or you can save 100K with a Keon Kolomatangi. On the right edge for the Bunnies, who's put together some big scores, but he's also put together a couple of 40s and 30s lately. So it's few and far between with him. There's the reason he's got a much lower price, but he does have the ceiling, and that's kind of what you want in – well, that's what I look for more in the outside backs, is the boom or bust guy, a little bit safer in the second row, but he saves 100K. It might be worthwhile going that route and having a bit of a bank for a Pappenhausen in a couple of weeks' time.
I mean, yeah, I'm trying to scrape some pennies together this week to try and fit some players in, and you know, saving 100K is no small task. So he's actually played every game by the first two rounds as 80 minutes. So I mean, you're locking that in as consistency there. Some days, you know, as a second rower, he'll go in and out. But I think we saw last week when they were getting on a roll, he was there running at small defenders, throwing some offloads, so doing some good stuff. But I think hasn't set the world on fire, which is good for his price. So I don't mind that play. I think just longer term, a guy that you're looking to hold, yeah, I think you may have to keep another trade up your sleeve for that one, unless you want to keep him as a matchup play. It's not the worst idea in the world.
He'd be a matchup play or a bridge to someone to get you through round 17. In my eyes, he'd be a bridge to get you someone, an origin guy who's coming in for the run home.
Any cheapies on the bubble? I know we had Michael Mollo last week in the front row. He scored a 20-odd.
Yeah, Molo's still on the bubble. He's got a negative. Sorry, I'm just trying to bring up my article.
Because I don't remember these off by heart, mate.
Yeah, I know. Honestly. So I don't have that lawyer brain, so forgive me. Yeah, Molo has a negative 25 break even. So still a pretty good cash cow, but he's only a 20 to 25 point player, so he's kind of just going to be an AE nightmare for you, I feel, going forward if you want to keep him. Sorry, he's got a 25 breaky, not a negative 25, but 25. So even then, he's probably tapped out on cash. So his 69 Lel from his first game has dropped out. He's had a 29 and a 22 in the next two games. That's kind of what his wheelhouse is. If you want that sort of player, you know, get an extra 25 points in the bye round, and you know, someone cheap, he's your man. But I don't think there's too many other guys, unfortunately.
Here's one for you, Kelma Tuolungi. Departure of Luciano up to the boys, and he now gets a starting spot back. Do you know he did not score over 50 once in the 11 odd games he's played so far this season?
Yeah, he has all the potential, and I really like the way he went about it, but he just couldn't put a score together and he could not stay on the field. The whole time I owned him to start the year, he pretty much spent every game off injured at some point or missing a game from the injury the week before. He just couldn't stay on. So I don't trust him. I don't think rushing out to get him.
You're going to grab him. 100%, he scores this week. 100%. This is what happens. Honestly, he's like the Bailey Simonson of a few years ago, where, you know, absolute dud as a cheapie to start the year. But then at the back end, when everyone's traded him, except for 16% of super coaches, there you go.
Yeah.
Sets the world alight in the back end. So, and if you've still got him, well done, because I reckon it's a guy like him that could fire in the back end with the spot opening up for him. All right. So any final word on front rowers, second rowers? I know you've got a lot of options there, I think. There's some guys that are, you know, you did mention David Clemmer as a, I don't know if you called him a must have, but
I don't think he's a must. Like, you've got Payne Haas, you got Tom Malolo, Ice is back there, Papali'i. So I don't think he's a must, but if you're looking for a round 17 guy in particular, he's a very good one.
Okay, quick one. A trade from Payne Haas to Joe Tarpane. People are doing it this week. I think it's in the top five trades for this round. What's your read on that? Payne Haas has still got the green tick next to him, as you said, pending this mystical captain's run. Tarpane's killing it, but won't play 17.
Yeah.
A sideways move or a shrewd one with those shoulder concerns?
I think a sideways, but there's a lot can happen in a week in football. So we don't know if Painhouse will play this week as yet. We don't know if he's going to get hurt in the next Origin game and have to miss more time. I can understand the move. And the way I like to look at it is, you know, barring the Origin game, let's say Painhouse does play this week and he plays next week, misses 17, and then plays out the rest of the year, is Tarpany going to outscore him by enough to justify the trade now? I don't think so if Haas is healthy, but that's the call you've got to make.
So, I mean, is there any chance he misses Origin and plays for the Broncos in 17?
No, no. If he's healthy, he's playing Origin. But yeah, it's just if.
And it depends. Like for me, if you're not a overall player, a head-to-head matchup sort of guy or girl, you'd be going to Tarpany, I reckon, because he's the guy in form. You don't care about that bye week.
Tarpany's a beast. He's absolutely killing it this year. You know, his missus calling out Ricky in the offseason was the best thing that ever happened to his career. He, I was at Suncorp watching the game on Saturday night, and he was in everything. He came off for a spell early in the second half, I think it was, and he didn't look happy about it. He wanted to be out there still. So he's the guy that's leading this pack. I know Papali's there as well, but Tarpany is the guy that's leading by example at the moment, putting his hand up for those tough runs, throwing the offloads, getting a few attacking stats as well. He's absolutely dominant this year.
I think the concern was that his minutes can be a bit erratic, and you see he drops occasionally to that low 40s kind of mark, but in the last month, Ricky's been using him much more.
And that's the problem. The problem's not Tarpany, it's Ricky. You can't really trust him with his rotations and what minutes he's going to what guys on any given week, but Tarpany seems like the one consistent at the moment for the Raiders.
Certainly is. So a fair few options there. I don't think anyone's really screaming out. The guy I brought in last week, Cam McInnes, 60-odd. Just quickly on him, Dale Finucane, he's slated for a round 16 return from a knee injury. Obviously, the concussion's going to linger as well with him. What do you see happening if Finucane does make it back for 17? Is that a crisis?
Could happen this week. Finucane's on the extended bench, so I feel like he's nearing. I don't think they'd name him in the extendeds if he wasn't getting close. I'd be watching out for that one coming on. But once he's back, I feel like Finucane's going to go into the prop rotation and McInnes will stay at lock. He's done very well there in Finucane's absence. I don't see any reason that Fitzgibbon will move him out of that position just to accommodate a guy who's going to play a prop role, whether he's in the 13 or in the 10.
Quickly before we go to centre wings, hooker. So round 13, we didn't have too many options there. If you went with Cotter like you and I did, it was a little disappointing for Supercoach that he wasn't there, but he's killed it in Origin, so great to see for him. But outside of that, 13 didn't throw up too many good numbers, but round 17 could be even worse. One name I saw, Reed Marnie.
Reed Marnie's the pick of them for mine. Blake Brayley is doing pretty well. They're at the same price range. There's $100 between the two of them, and there's 0.9 between the two of them as far as average goes. So those guys are your picks. But, you know, if you've got Cam McInnes already, you can always just flick him up and concentrate on a forward, which is a lot more depth. And a couple of guys that you will be happier with running home than Blake Brayley or Reed Marnie in your hooking position.
Yep, absolutely agree. If you can afford to take two NPRs in any position, it's that. So, best to maybe steer clear unless you're really desperate for a number in 17. All right, getting into the centre wings, and this is where it starts to get even trickier than the forwards, because there are so many guns that are in form right now that are either, they've done their dash, they did play round 13, or they're about to potentially play for round 17. So we know Joey Manu, we know Ruben Garrick, even Brian To'o, those absolute guns. Eventually many will have them in their side, I think, for the run home, that's safe to say. But some of the ones for 17, you're going to need to find some cash here because there are a stack of options. Starting with the Bunnies, Campbell Graham and Alex Johnson, AJ. So last week, watching Campbell Graham as a non-owner, it is very frustrating because I think for some reason the scorers love him more than any other centre in the game. He gets every single try assist. Doesn't happen because I'm a Cody Walker owner and a bit salty and a bit biased. But every time they do a sweeping play and, Graham just bats it on, try assist 100% of the time. But poor old Petr Hicku, if he ever tried to do that, no, TC. You'd probably blow TC it. Only. But no, fair to say, the combination between those two is clicking at the moment. One of the few bright spots for the Bunnies so far in 2022. And they're moving places. So Campbell Graham and AJ, much of a muchness. What are your read on them?
Yeah, Graham was a guy I was looking at very closely last week. And on Saturday night after he played, I was kicking myself that I didn't grab him. He looks fantastic. He's always been a potential guy. You know, he's always had the potential to go big. And there was a couple of big scores. I think you had him last year or the year before based on that potential. But the Bunnies just go left. And so he was on the right side. He wasn't seeing the amount of ball on a week-to-week basis. Now he's playing left center. The ball's going right to him and he's making things happen. It's perfect. It's everything that is lined up for Supercoach for Campbell Graham. And I want him. I want to try and figure out how to get him in my side.
Even in the weeks he's not scoring, he's scoring, you know, 46, 54, 55 over the last five rounds. And then when he scores a try, obviously he's going to go large. He had 130. That's his lowest score all season. Everything else has been 46 plus. I mean, that is a huge flaw.
Yep.
And we're starting to see that pretty regularly with some of these gun center wings, is that they're not the erratic rocks and diamonds. They're the guys that can do a job on the day, score you 40, 50, and then, you know, on a good matchup week, go ballistic, which is what, not ballistic. He did score one ton so far this year, but Campbell Graham, I don't know, he's just getting the job done.
He's just consistent. He does his role and he does it extremely well and he has some attacking upside. And so, even when he has a down game, you're still going to be looking, as you said, at a 40 or 50. And you take that, you know, most center wings have a down game and they're in the teens, even, the best of the best of them. But, Graham doesn't have that sort of low floor. So he's, it's a breakout year for him. We're all going to be trying to get on him at some stage. So you may as well do it now before you absolutely have to break the bank to get him.
One word that is giving me a bit of pause with him, and that's Origin. So Katoni Staggs, I don't know what that was last week, the shoulder cork or not, whatever.
A bit weird,
Latrell, no certainty to even make it back into that Origin side. So surely Campbell Graham is next off the production line, isn't he?
No, I don't know. He's there. He's thereabouts. Latrell is not too far away. I don't think he's going to make Origin 2, but he'll be there for Origin 3, would be my guess. So, that limits the spot. And Jack Whiten played a really good game for New South Wales. I don't see him losing his spot at the moment. But I think Graham's down the pecking order a little bit. You've also got guys like Stephen Crichton was there. He was on the bench. If they're going to get another center, they can pull him up and get a different utility to come on board. So I just don't think I wouldn't be too worried about it.
Look, I'd just honestly eliminate the risk altogether. I know it's a slim one, but get Alex Johnson in, 30-odd K more expensive. He scored 3 tons in his last 4 weeks. So obviously the Bunnies are clicking a little more than they did at the start of the year. You can basically write that off. But even then, AJ, as a winger in a pretty poor side, you'd think he wouldn't be scoring that well. But, geez, he's just like Graham. He's at a 20 and a 30, but then beyond that, and a 14 against the Broncos somehow. But beyond that, he's scoring healthily even when he's not racking up the tries. So, I don't know. I think the way that the Bunnies are playing, Latrell coming back, it's all good signs for them.
They just want to go left, and that's their guys.
Yeah, and either way, like if it's not Cody, if it's not Latrell, if it's not Campbell Graham feeding this guy the ball, then I don't know, he'll just come and do it himself. So I don't know, I really like AJ. I think, a centre can sometimes float in and out of a game, not that Campbell Graham has, but, could be due. I just think eliminate all risk, go a guy like AJ if you've got the cash to splash. But I think, as I said, much of a muchness. I think the Bunnies are on at the moment, so strike while the iron is hot. Another side that is really firing in their back line is the Sharks, so plenty of options there. Maybe to start off with maybe the lower of the few here, but the Ramen Noodles, Jesse Ramey, your ex-boy, floating around. He's not setting the world on fire. I think the only real memorable thing I think he's done all season was get sent off knocking out Ewan Aitken, or Sinbin, I think it was. But, he's steady. But are you foregoing him for his centers and wingers around him?
I am. But like you said, he's not setting the world on fire. He's averaging 58, and he's the lowest of the four Sharks center wings. That's how good these guys are going this year. He's the ninth highest averaging center wing in Supercoach, and his three center wing partners are all above him. It's ridiculous how good these guys are going. But yeah, he's got the best floor of the four of them. I think he's the safest pick, where the other guys can a bit more boom bust. But as we saw last week, you know, Katoa scored
three tries,
mm-hmm. and Mulitalo scored two.
I think he only scored one, didn't he?
No, he got a double. He got the cutout ball early on in the game, and he scored that one down the touchline that they took, you know, 30 minutes.
He did too. There you go.
So, you know, these guys are capable of going huge on any given day, and I think I'd rather be on the ups with a couple of lower games. And even then, like, Mulitalo's lower games aren't bad at all. I don't have the stats in front of me, but I can get them pretty quick. But
he scored a 13 and a 24. Everything else is 40 plus. A lot of 70s. Yeah.
There you go. And
for 3 tons so far this year. Spread out. So he scored four tries in his last three games. Obviously, you know, you'd be buying him on the up, but with a run of Titans, Dogs, and then a Origin depleted Storm side, I mean, that is a very handy next couple of weeks.
Great run. And as I said earlier, they've got Melbourne, Cowboys, Penrith in a row, but their run home from 20, you know, Bunnies, Dragons, Tigers, Eagles, Dogs, Knights, it's fantastic. They have just probably the best run in football at the moment, the best upcoming schedule, and they're going to be some big scores that they put on.
Sione Katoa is slightly cheaper. Well, I say slightly, but he's about 100K cheaper than Mulitalo, 518K. I mean, he needs a lot more tries to go big. I think he doesn't quite have the base, but it's still not dreadful by any stretch. But no tons for him so far this season. So Mulitalo, as we said, has three of them, Talakai a few as well. But Katoa, no tons, but a 518K center wing. If you want an in to that Shark side, he's probably the most, well, he's the obvious one.
It's the affordable one.
Hmm.
But yeah, that's the set. He scored three tries and got 93. Other guys score three tries and, you know, they're banging out a 140. So you said his base isn't as good. In saying that, he had a 36 base on the weekend, just gone 35 in round 12 and 40 in round 11. So it's far from awful. But yeah, they tend to go left a little bit more. This is why Ramian doesn't seem to get the attacking stats the other guys do. But I love Katoa. I love the way he plays. I've had him in my side a couple of times over the years. I really enjoy him when he's on the up, but I just, you know, how many chefs and stuff like that. If you don't, do you have any of them? Do you have any of the four?
Talakai.
Just Talakai. Are you aiming for someone else?
Well, it's looking at, like, just trying to afford them is the tough one because there's guys around like Tago, Taylan May, potentially Cooler in a couple of weeks, Karaz even. These guys are going to fatten out, but it's still a big stretch to go up there. You're going to need to find other guys around, which isn't, you know, impossible. But I think it's probably a decision I'll make in round 17 in the lead up. And I think, you know, they're still going to go. They'll go up in price. I think Katoa has a 20 break even. Mulitalo is even less. So these guys are going to go up in price, but I don't think stretch into the realms of impossibility. So I think it's a decision I'll hold off on until I make the wrong one in round 17.
Okay, cool. Just let me know who you're going and I'll go elsewhere.
Certainly will. Attention turning to the Dragons, probably less relevance than those two sides because they're going the opposite direction. Zach Lomax, a very ordinary game, was called out from All and Sundry for some pretty ordinary plays. He could be a guy that's stinging as a result and go okay. I think his floor's been pretty Ramian-like. So even when the Dragons were going poorly, he was doing okay. Just whether or not they can turn it around, it's tough to see, but he was a guy. But one that I found today, and I did mention I was trying to find cash, and it's a bit tough. I didn't want to go Grant Anderson. The move I have now made is to bring in, actually, who do you reckon, so outside, just a pop quiz, who do you reckon has lost the most cash in Supercoach that's going to play in round 17?
Are we talking Dragons? Ravalawa.
It is Mikaeli Ravalawa back from a hammy injury, which, you know, isn't the best news, but back from hammy, he's lost 218K. He started this season with 119. He has since not scored a single try. You talk about buying players on the, you know, buy the dip or whatever those crypto guys talk about. This guy surely bottomed out. Break even of 20 He's going dreadfully. But sometimes you've got to pick these roughies out. And a guy like Ravalawa, right. I'm never going to play him outside of round 17. But one of those guys, he's not going to lose his spot pending injury. But, yeah, match-up play.
As you said, he's – well, I'd say his base isn't awful. He's sort of getting, I'd say, a low 30s base on most weeks by average. Any attacking stats on top of that would be great, but he's not been getting them. Couple of tough games coming up. Bunnies this week, Raiders the following. I don't see it's the worst play. They've got a pretty good run home. So as a cheapy, you know, matchup dependent play, I don't even think you'd play him regardless, but maybe just have the cover there as someone, you know, late in the season that you can throw in if injury strike. I don't think I'll be going there, but you know, each to own.
115 is his highest score of the teams he's got coming up, and that's against the Broncos, who he plays in round 17 and round 25. So great number to have. Please don't do your hammy before 17. That's all I ask from your big bad Ravalawa. But he was a guy I didn't want to go Grant Anderson just yet.
Yes,
I wanted to see just whether or not he even makes the side this week. So I just wanted to hold off in case. But a guy like Ravalawa just found enough money to get. So 280K, surely can't go worse. If he goes down from there, you know, I'll give Supercoach away. I think that's safe to say. Some other options, mate. There's quite a lot on the list.
There's heaps.
Oh, honestly, mate. Let's go through them quickly. Tony Staggs, if he doesn't play Origin, if you've still got him, great hold, because, you know, he'll come out in round 17 against the Dragons and perform pretty well, I'd suspect. Would you be buying him if he did play 17? Is he a run home player?
Buying him, but that's not a bad shout. He'll be versing Moses Sully, so he's the opposite side of the park to Zach Lomax, who's the more defensively minded. The Stags could be on, but he's been more defensively minded himself and letting Cobbo run the gauntlet out there on the right hand side. So I think he's probably a miss. But, you know, stranger things have happened.
Again, if you've held, fingers crossed for you, he doesn't play Origin. Dean Irimia, we did speak briefly about him, the Storm winger. Could be the one to make way, though, this week, as you said, for the returning Pappenhausen. If they shift Meany out to his preferred wing. So keep an eye on Irimia, but he's around that 280K, I think, as well, Mark, and obviously playing in a much better side. Job security, though, between him and Ravalawa is what won out for me. And then Mike Acevo. I know he's a guy that we were keeping an eye on last week in his return to the NRL. Obviously not the game to do it because the Dogs are all over them, but was there much to love out of that game, and are you still considering him for 17?
I am considering him. It was his first game back from injury in the top grade. He had that huge run where he sat Flanagan straight on his ass at one stage, and he looked really good, but then they just didn't have any of the ball. It was all the Dogs all game. So I'm sort of happy to write this one off. It's his first game of the year, so that low score won't be in his rolling average for too long. Let's talk about him again next week after they play the Roosters this weekend.
Certainly could. Any centres that I haven't picked up there? Anyone on the list? I mean, it's a huge list.
It's a massive list. There's plenty of guys you can have. I mean, Grant Anderson's the obvious one if he's still around. And another guy, I mean, we sort of just mentioned Nofo a couple of weeks ago, but, you know, floats in and out. I'm more interested, if I was going to go down the Tigers route, in Ken Mamalo. He's in try-scoring form. I think he's had a 90, a 79, and a 65 in his last three games. He's put on some decent scores, even though they're getting touched up. It's very risky. It's very risky, but he's only, you know, 0.5% owned by the competition. It's very pod play.
Just having a look, he scored a 1 this season from 2 minutes, so not a bad PPM. But no, outside of that, fair play. He's not got the worst floor in the world. I think the problem with the Tigers is, you know, are they even going to score tries going forward? They gave up last week, which was horrible to see. And going forward, I just don't know where they go from here. So, I don't know. Ken Mamalo's never been a super coach player, I don't think, even when he was at the Warriors. I think Nofo's your guy. Before last week, actually, Nofo hadn't played for, I think, 3 or 4 weeks. He had an average of something like 88 from his last three games. He came out last week nothing doing. I don't think Buster did a tackle.
29 or something. Yeah, he just wasn't involved.
Might have thrown one offload or something like that. But that's hugely disappointing from a veteran in their side there. He needs to turn it around. 102 break even this week. Huge price to pay. I'd be steering clear of these sort of teams, though. Warriors, Tigers, Knights.
Yep.
Not the Dogs, though. They're back. Don't you worry.
No, the Dogs are flying. It's a bit of a shame that they won't be playing.
Here's one name, not a centre wing, but a fullback. We said Hooker was a bit, of a graveyard, but fullback, I don't know if you'd really want to be mixing things up there given the guns that we have, but if you've got trades, Will Kennedy is a short-term play, 360K this week, break even of around 50. He had those two negative scores in a row, which really cut into his price, but leveling out now, and as you said, the Sharks are on a roll. He could be a very huge in if you pick him up for 17 and trade him out shortly after. I think it's very much trade-dependent.
It is very trade dependent, but I tell you what, Blake Taff is back this week for the Bunnies. He's on the bench. He's becoming an AE nightmare. He's 390K. If you want to get rid of that AE nightmare and earn 30K in the process, Blake Taff to Will Kennedy. That's your play.
Love that. Could be if you've got a few boosts up your sleeve, one of those great plays. I thought about it. I've really wasted the boost this year. I think the biggest one was Xavier Coates when he scored like 10. And then another 10 after that. So anyway.
Yeah, right after he went on his try-scoring run, eh?
I've lived and learned. I'll never do that again. All right, Lakey, to round this out before we get into your joke corner, I've got to sit and play a couple of questions that I'm going to fire off to you. Currently got the NPRs. They're a little bit stacked. I'm going to throw some names out to you. Cam McInnes, Payne Haas, Max King, Talakai, Butcher. I need, I think, two out of that.
Two.
Butcher, Talakai, King. That's Max King, Payne Haas, Cam McInnes.
I'm leaning. I'm leaning McInnes against the Titans. I think they've been a bit weak up the middle. So he rips in and gets plenty of tackles regardless, and is playing a bit of, with his history at hooker, he's got a decent pass on him, so he can play a bit of a link-up guy and can jag a couple of line break assists perhaps against the Titans. So I'd lean him. Payne Haas, you have to play if he's playing.
Do you?
But I think so. If he's healthy, you never think about sitting him. And that's the thing. He's pretty much a top two front rower in the game. But it's a big if. He's not healthy at the moment. Butcher, I don't trust. It was only last week that he had a 39-minute game. And this week he played 80, last week and the week before.
Yeah, I think that was it was last week he played the 80-minute game, but that was because they had all the HIA carnage. So he had Keary off, he had Walker off for a 10-15-minute stretch. So he had Tupanua at centres, and then that forced Butcher out to the edge. So I think going forward he's not going to be an 80-minute player. So I think fair to say, that makes up the mind. I'll have to move him on at some stage.
Yes, that's it for me. And who was your last?
Maxi King.
Can't get rid of
this guy, mate.
I don't think you can. He just keeps, putting out big score after big score. He's really hitting his straps. And he started at lock last week or yesterday against the Eels and scored a 70-plus. He moves into prop this week. So he'll play a largely similar role, maybe a little less minutes. But, for me, it's McInnes Haas. But unless Haas is an out, obviously, then I'd probably go Maxi King.
Okay, to round it out, my centres, mate, I've got Joey Manu-Tago and the mighty Petr Hiku. So they're the absolute locks, most particularly Petr. But Karaz Kula or Ravalawa, one out of those three.
I wouldn't play Rava. Happy to sit him. He is coming back from a soft tissue injury, so you never know. Karaz versus the Tigers is a very interesting play. They've been giving up heaps of points. The Dogs have just shown that they can put it on. If Karaz is playing centres, if I'm not mistaken, and he was really good there last week, so I definitely would be playing him.
Is that right? They've named him at wing again, Corey Allen in centres, but they don't play that way.
They don't play that way. That's right. So, yeah, Karaz is named in the two, but they shift, swap over and inside each other. I think, he should be the guy. He had 21 runs this past week. He had 230 run meters and 8 tackle breaks. So those are just effort plays as opposed to the attacking stats that he can jag on top of that if they get a good run. But if when he's got his head in the game, he's a fantastic player.
Yeah, and Cooler's playing the Cowboys, so 10 points coming up for him. Any questions for me? Anything that you want me to answer?
I wanted to know what your feeling is around Lucy. Lucy Liu is a bit of a shock one today. He got the release from the Tigers. I know you guys have been chasing him all season and the Tigers have been reluctant to let him go, but I think they basically just pulled stumps on this season and now that they've given him the release. Where does he play? Is he going to be an option at the back end of the year? Is he going to be a starter? What's the play there? Because I know, you know, Lukey's out, ACL. What's his prospects?
He's not going to play 80. I think that's fair to say the way that we play. So you got Nano Gilbert and formerly Lukey in that role. So they like chopped and changed. I think Nano was always that 80-minute player, but Gilbert would start on the edge, move into the middle. Lukey would come on. I think it'll be something around those lines as well. Gilbert's obviously moving on later in the year, so I suspect they'll start to give Leilua a bit more game time as the season wears on. But, in terms of a player, I wouldn't be going anywhere near him just until we see how that plays out. But I kind of like it. I like the mid-season move. We've lost Lemuelu next year as well to the Dolphins, so there goes a bit of depth. I was thinking beyond that, now that Lukey went out, we had Lemuelu and Ben Condon were our next in line. So,
yeah,
in terms of depth, it's great to have a guy like Leilua there. So I think he'll fit into the forward rotation. I don't know whether they'll play him in the middle, and will they just give Tom Gilbert, when he does return, that role again. But, yeah, the big worry for me is just how he settles into our defensive structure. I think that's been what's winning us games so far this season. And, you know, a guy like Leilua can be a bit arm-grabby. So, I don't know. I'd like to think he gets fully into the work, stuck into the Townsville Heat in the tackling bags in the sand. So, yeah, interested to see how it goes. Not the worst idea, but, yeah, not a Supercoach play.
Fair enough. One more I've got for you. We got a couple of the young Penrith guys who have had their bye weeks and we may be looking to move them on. I know it's something you've looked at, but Taylan May versus Isaac Tago.
I moved on Taylan May this week purely because Tago has that dual flexibility. That's still relatively handy when you've got guys like Talakai up there. I've still got Ewan Aitken. I'm trading him out next week, but I figured, you know, he's not losing any cash this week, so I'll keep him around. But I think that flexibility is pretty handy. For me, you know, they're coming up against a really bad side this week, which is why I didn't want to make the move, but I had to for cash. But if I was going to make a call on one, it would be Taylan May. You know, he's a winger, so less likely to get base and that kind of thing. Tago's pretty handy with the ball in hand as well. But again, for me, I think they've maybe maxed out Supercoach worth. As you said, a lot of chefs in the Penrith kitchen. There's a lot of chefs everywhere in the NRL at the moment, but plenty doing at Penrith. And I think, time is right maybe to move at least one of them on. I'd be keeping one for the season just because you want to have that in on the Panthers side when they go large. For me, Tago's my guy.
Yeah, fair enough. It's hard to argue with that. The centers tend to have a better base than wings, but the wingers can go bigger on their day. But, you know, these guys, you look at their stats across the board, they're very, very similar. There's 5K difference between them at the moment. There's one between their break evens. They're both averaging in the 60s. There's 8-point difference there. Their min scores are very close. Their max scores are very close. They're basically the same player. So, you know, I don't think there is a wrong answer. You're right. I think the dual flexibility might just swing it in Tago's favour. That's a good point.
Tell you what, I'm getting on Taylan May for a double or more this week.
I traded out Joseph Suwali and Sam Walker last week. Both of them scored.
There you go. I think it's the tonic to any decision you make. I think just in case, always throw some dollars responsibly onto them. All right, Lakey, that's a big pod for round 15. A lot happening. I think it's a couple of crucial weeks coming up, so I'm looking forward to our chats. But before we go, I've built this up. Lakey's joke corner. What have you got for me, buddy?
Oh, mate, I don't have anything. It's been a really tough evening for me. I was having a Barney with the missus earlier because She wants me to stop singing Oasis Wonderwall at her. I said maybe.
Oh, Big Bad Nath loved it too, mate. Oh,
thanks, Nath. Appreciate it.
See, mate, I have the sensitivity to laugh at your jokes. I get but
pity laughs are the best sort of laughs, are the ones I've built my reputation on.
I get nothing but silence from your end. But I'll do read one that I did see. I read it to you off air. But my son Luke loves that we named our children after Star Wars characters. My daughter Chewbacca, not so much. That's just the absolute quality you get on the SC Report, mate. Great to talk to you. You and I are flying up the ladder. We'll catch when and soon enough. Good to chat, and I'll catch you next week.
Sounds good. See you all then. Give your love to a cowboy man.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.